Yeah, I'm down.
Strike a light, Brownie. How are you, mate?
Robbo, mate. It's good to hear those words again, mate.
It's weird. I nearly forgot the opening line, for goodness sakes. It's been that bloody long.
Look, it does feel very, very...
Don't stutter, mate. I know you're nervous. Weird, mate.
I'm nervous. It's been 119 days.
That makes me sick.
17 weeks.
That's so long, hey. I don't know if it feels like longer than that, though.
I've seen you briefly in that amount of time, but we haven't properly caught up, so...
We've been so busy. Like...
Yeah, life caught up.
We never actually put a post up on Instagram saying why. So people might have seen the story.
Yeah.
And then we just kept getting messages and messages and messages on Instagram.
Which we appreciate, but...
When are you guys coming back? And it's like,
look,
whoa.
There's no better way to talk about why we had a break, what's been going on, and catch up ourselves than to chuck the mic on.
So what's this episode going to be about?
Absolutely everything.
Just the return. Are we going to call it the return?
The return, sure.
Return of the urn.
All right, well...
Straight off the bat.
Let's go into some songs of the weeks.
The 17 weeks.
Keep it consistent.
Sheepers, creepers. Yeah. I don't have one.
Okay.
Oh, magic. Yeah. Whoa, 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 it's magic.
Okay.
That one? Yeah. Hopefully we don't get copyrighted for that.
Okay.
How about you, mate? I've been playing that so much.
It was beautiful. Oh, gee, you put me on the spot here. We did probably should have put...
I'll do two. Grease Lightning. Okay. And Summer Nights. And literally all the Grease soundtrack.
Okay, yeah. I'm just gonna go with...
For a bit of Juice WRLD.
Anything to do with the Wombats, considering I missed their concert due to COVID.
Did you?
Yeah, I took it. So,
unlucky, mate.
I mean, we'll talk about that later on. Any thoughts of the weeks?
I've got so many bloody thoughts.
Yep.
Actually, I'm going to knock one off right now.
Yep.
It's not a quote thought. It's not a little thought. It's not going to go into a bloody Instagram. Well, I was going to talk about it later.
Yep.
I read in a book
about
grief and dealing with grief. Grief is inevitable and we'll all experience it at times in our lives. And it's like holding a football under the water. Your arm will get tired.
Yep.
And the more you try to suppress it and push it down further, the more your arm will get tired. And eventually, your arm will give in. Eventually, you will give in and that grief will build up because you've suppressed it for so long and it's going to blow up right in your face. So
it's an inevitable part of life and it's about how you handle things, I think, is an important thing to take out of that as well.
So to feel grief, to feel the pain, to feel upset, to feel emotions, the more you embrace them and accept them, the quicker the grief will pass and the more it'll be... the more you'll be able to manage the grief.
Yep.
Because it'll be on the surface, the football, not pushed down to the bottom. So that's a little bloody...
Ladies and gentlemen, strap yourselves in because we're about
strike.
To get into a few of these key points.
Hey, 17 weeks of content.
I've got
content.
One just randomly just came to my head. I sent it to you on the 6th of May.
Yep.
Most people wouldn't support you until they see it's popular to support you.
We have often
and that,
referred to this.
That does come back to ourselves and this podcast. We've had a lot of...
Sure.
But it's anything you do, you know.
Yep.
If it's until it's trendy, until they hop on the bandwagon,
until the other people are saying, "Oh, this is the norm. I better jump on now," rather than...
It's funny though, right? Because even the most successful podcast, we'll stay within that sort of space for now. We're talking about ourselves. The most successful podcast, I guarantee, at the start of those successful ones, including our own at the time, people would have been given all sorts of podcasters grief, eh?
Like, oh, for sure.
The number one podcast, number two, number three, would all caught shit at some time and then everyone now wants to be a part of it. So that's something that, I don't know, came to my head just then.
That's definitely something we can relate to, for sure.
My advice there would be to whatever you're doing, and if it's different, it's good, so stick at it.
Yep. No, bloody
oath. Things that make you grow.
Mate, we started very hot here.
Yep. Okay. Do you want to do the lucky band?
Sweet, sour, lucky band.
The last 17 weeks. We're going to keep this brief and then expand on it later on. Right.
I wish I remember the girl's name who mentioned this.
Sweet.
There's absolutely no chance I will be able to remember it because it's been bloody...
It's Lauren or Laura or something, pretty sure. It's an L. I just remember it.
If you still listen, which you probably don't because we've lost all our listeners,
no,
please message us. We really appreciated you saying that. So sweet, sour, lucky band. So... This is actually good if people don't recall us discussing it. Something sweet that's happened in your day or week, something sour, which hasn't been so good, and lucky band, something that's stretched you.
Yep.
So we obviously you may have listened to our past podcast of Sweet Sour Lucky Band. This will be covering 17 weeks.
So, all right.
119 days of Sweet Sour Lucky Band.
In your 119 days. And look, to be honest, there's no real limit on this. If there's a few things or a general theme.
For me, I could easily say I haven't had a lot of sweet because I've had a easily the worst stage of my life this year.
Yep.
From the start of the year till now, a month ago.
17 weeks is a large majority of
them. Yeah, this has been the worst 17 weeks of my life.
Yep.
But to look at the positive in that, because as we've always said,
the perspective,
and we can look at the negatives, but at the end of the day, if there's positives there, I can look at, and it's the support that I've gotten from the people around me that have helped me get through what I've had to get through, and that would be the sweet thing that's happened in my past 17 weeks. I can't directly say anything, a few things from my life I could say it has.
Yep.
But it's the people around me have made it sweet for helping me and the support and from complete strangers.
We definitely didn't plan this, I'd swear down, but my one word for my sweet for the last 17 weeks was going to be support.
Yeah.
Dead set, support.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter what situation you're in. I think sometimes you don't realise the support you've got around you. Good things and bad things happen, but it's the group or the, we all have quite a close group of people, whether that's family and friends or partners, whatever, that are there to support you through the good and the bad. And I think I've really learnt that the last 17 weeks.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that just goes to show it's the best things in our lives aren't actually us directly. It's the people around us that are making things better for us. So
I'm a big believer in you are the kind of the person you become, and who you are is built around the people you surround yourself with. I'm a big believer
for sure.
Sour,
you go sour first, mate, because I've got a pretty big sour.
Okay, sour. Oh crikey. Circumstances have changed in my life that have been sour, let's just say that. We can touch on it later.
All right, we'll dive in later.
Some negative.
Is that your sour?
Events have happened. Yeah.
So you're not going to open the can of worms.
No, we'll wait till later.
My sour. Jeepers. If you follow me on Instagram, you probably know I spent, I think it was 4 days out of a week in hospital, back and forth from home. And then I spent about 3 weeks in bed. Because I physically could not move, I physically could not get out of bed. I'll get really raw and honest in that in about half hour.
Yep.
Probably like seriously raw, so trigger warning for that coming. That's going to get very eye-opening and alarming to what I'm going to say, but that's definitely been my sour, and we'll open that up soon.
Yeah, I think it's fair. We just sort of dangle it a little bit.
You put the carrot in front of your nose for a little while.
Not only prepare the listeners, but prepare ourselves.
Well, stretched you, mate.
Stretch, okay. I think, obviously, the sour and the stretch sort of link together.
Yep.
I just think what stretched me is to try and take negatives and turn them into positives.
Yep.
And I'll, my fair assessment of that is that I've done that. I'm going to give myself an A.
Oh, it's good, mate.
I think I've been stretched by some negative circumstances and events
that
have happened in my life, but I think I have, I'll use the word perform, it's not the right word, but I've taken that sort of negative and turned it into a positive in a good way.
Sure. I rate that.
Pretty happy with that.
My stretch, probably the biggest thing that stretched me that I've overcome and used was getting from the stage of being bedbound. And when you're in these situations and you're so deep in a depression, the further you're in it, the longer you're in it, the harder it is to get out of it. Yep. So to move out from there, to get out of mum and dad's house and move back to Wongan, which took me like 4 separate attempts. I was meant to move back to Wongan, but I literally couldn't leave home because home became a safe, like literally my bed became a safe place. So that stretched me like fuck to be able to move back to Wongan, but then actually doing that. And
touching on that as well, from the outside looking in, to build on that, from what I've seen from the outside, which is not everything, but it's also been a great move for you to not only move back to Wongan, but to make a shift in where you're living.
Yeah, where I'm living and where I'm working.
Honestly, I didn't think you'd do it, but you did it, which I think has been pretty good from what I can understand. So good on you, mate.
We'll tap into that later. Soon.
Couple more things before we dive in.
Bloke of the 17 weeks.
Okay, firstly, I've got to say something as well. I had an encounter on Instagram today.
Did you?
Yep. Yep. with someone who is high profile enough that they said, oh, I don't listen to your podcast because it's for blokes. Can we just stamp
since day dot?
This is not a blokes only podcast.
It's literally bloke to bloke, as in I'm a bloke and you're a bloke and we're chatting. Okay. It's for everyone and anyone that wants to listen.
Yeah.
That's the last time I hope we ever have to say this, but it definitely won't be.
Yeah. Shout out to Suklin. You'll know her.
Oh, I know her.
Yeah.
She messaged you.
Well, we had a chat about podcasts and why we're
you're
not
talking
in...
to her. Doesn't she have a boyfriend?
Yeah.
You sly dog. Oh, I'm joking.
Here we go.
Bloke of the week for me.
Bloke of the week.
I got nothing. No, all literally. Right. Nothing.
I'm going to go with any player from the West Coast Eagles. You're all doing a great job out there.
Making it difficult.
Yeah, I've sat through a lot of those games recently.
I haven't been to a game this year.
Statistically the worst team on record, I'm pretty sure, ever.
It was, what is that? If they lost by more than 50 points, yeah. It would have been the most consecutive games lost.
Shout out to, actually, bloke of the week is anyone supporting West Coast that's still alive, kicking and
supporting.
Yeah,
we'll go with that.
Good on you.
And flag mantle.
Okay, last topic is something that's also negative. In the last 17 weeks, if you have stonks, I'm so sorry. In fact, if you are a human that has money, I'm so sorry. The market has been cooked. Okay, so since what's happened is interest, the cash rate rose from 0.1 to 0.35. That was bad.
To 0.85.
To 0.85. So if you point, if two
people don't understand this, and
okay,
that's
what I'm saying is right. There was, okay, all in simple terms, the interest rates rose by 0.25, and the world panicked. Australia panicked, and then they just went and doubled down on that and rose it by 0.5 again.
Yeah.
What that means for your money is if you have a mortgage or a loan, it is going to be more expensive on your repayments. There's more money, there's less money floating around, things are more expensive, and inflation's going up. So you'll notice this, fuel prices, since we've probably last had an episode, they've risen nearly a dollar. And I saw this today, I did my food shopping, very small shop, $60, $70.
Yeah, that's grim.
Your food is so expensive. Strawberries are punnet, like $6.50. I didn't buy them, just saying. Them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Although I still believe stonks are the best place to have your money, it is tough.
It's difficult to grit your teeth.
I would say you're down.
A lot. No, I'm not.
Not down overall, just down in the last 17 weeks.
Yeah, I've lost...
I challenge anyone to tell me if they've been up the last 17 weeks.
Tens of thousands.
So Lake obviously went on a bit of a run.
I honestly haven't looked at my share portfolio.
So Lake did hit $2, I believe.
Yep.
It's now like $1.30.
Is it?
Yeah, we should probably top up.
We've said this multiple times.
Yeah.
And we won't do it. We
were going to do it at 70 cents. But so Lake holders, no worries. Some good news as of today for TMV holders, up 9%.
What does it cost now?
Same price. We haven't really lost or made anything on TMB, which is fine. So my word, like jokes aside, advice is if you have put your hard-earned money into the stocks and you're hurting a little bit with these times, stick at it. These times are when people make money, not lose money.
And literally everyone is in the same boat as you. So
bloke of the week a while ago was Warren Buffett. And Warren Buffett, if you don't know, one of the most famous... stonk brokers,
investors,
whatever you want to call him, he would say that he would have got mega rich during these times, GFC, etc. These are the times to invest. So if you've got spare money laying around, you're still getting nothing in your bank, put it into an ETF or go
NFT.
Like NFT. Go like Robbo and get a small cap, but stick at it.
Yeah, I was actually going to say something else, but I've forgotten now. So.
Yep, cool.
Shut up.
Why did you have a break?
We'll straight into it. Okay, why the big bloody...
Let's just tell a story.
The big elephant in the room.
Let's just tell a story. Let's just go like chronological order.
Why did we have a break from...
Okay, I'll start. The podcast not blew up overnight, but similar to what happened to yourself on TikTok, just sort of picked up pretty quickly.
It just became too much for us to manage, and we tried to manage it without... managing ourselves.
So what happened was, as most of you guys know, this is two guys that work full time recording on just like not proper setup at all, like a camera and two clip on mics.
Look at where we're sitting if you've seen snippet.
I'm at dad's house.
We live an hour and 45 minutes away from each other.
Yeah. So what happened was we probably didn't expect it to go so well and it did.
Yeah.
And with all that, we love doing it. We got excited and we Luckily enough for us and fortunate enough to get some sponsors on board, and things took off, right?
Yep.
We actually got a logo design and everything. We had big plans,
Yeah.
But with success in any form of life comes responsibility.
Yeah.
And when you, as you said, live so far away and we have commitments, we just didn't have the time.
We burnt ourselves out, and it was difficult. Hindsight's 20/20. We look back now, it's like, yeah, we should have stopped now or slowed down then. But obviously in the moment, you don't see it.
The thing is though, this it's like a double-edged sword, right? If we weren't successful, if we weren't having some form of success, we would have stopped because we would have seen ourselves burning out. But we pushed through because
we had a reason to.
I remember there was one time we were joking about, not really joking, we had a semi-joke about, oh, let's finish up. And then the next day we were like number 5 on the charts overall or something.
Yeah.
And that like completely went out the window.
It does. When you get...
And we appreciate the support. And that's like one thing as well. Is like you're dealing with real people messaging you and thanking you.
That's the motivation.
I think one of the hardest parts about having a break was you probably don't know as much as I do, but there's been so many messages just like, when are you coming back? I need help, which we always advise you if you need help to speak to someone that's a bit more professional than us.
Yeah.
But that's a big part that was difficult of our decision to have a break. Another part of that, the break, was there was no time limit on the break either.
Yeah.
I think your personal circumstances probably reflect why we had a break more than mine, and I'm sure you'll touch on that.
Yeah.
But
essentially,
From memory, we were designing a logo. We had a big process with that. We were perfecting it to the max.
And
we were talking about merch. We had quotes for merch. And I think we just like did
just
one too many things.
Too many things, and I think
that... We were losing, let's be honest, an episode is easy to listen to and it's an hour of your time, but it's like an hour before, it was like 2 hours before, an hour afterwards, it was all the phone calls and voice memos.
The weekend, the emails, liaising with...
Yeah, when you work full time, that's difficult.
Yeah.
And when you live so far away, it's even more difficult.
Yeah.
I'd love to live in the same house and come down for breakfast at 6 o'clock and have a brainstorm. It just doesn't work.
We have breakfast together.
Doesn't work like that, does it? Yeah, we could do.
No, it doesn't. And so that was a lesson for us. And
so look, we hope that people understand that.
And it's I'm sure they will. And it's really difficult. And you always hear this, always hear it. You can't pour from an empty cup and don't burn out your candle. And you don't actually realize those words until you've actually done it.
Yeah.
Until you're like, hang on, that's me with an empty cup pouring from an empty cup.
Yep.
If you don't see, you're in that moment when you're in the moment.
Yep.
So if you've got a feeling, got a hunch that you're getting burnt out, trust that, yes, my cup is getting empty and I need to fill it up again, which we should have done earlier, but we didn't see that.
Can I also just say as well, though, that the podcast wasn't the only reason why we needed a break?
No, not at all.
So the podcast wasn't like the only thing going on pushed us to need a break.
No.
When I went to a doctor recently, he was talking about health and he was saying like your health is like a glass full of water and you fill it up to the top, right? And you go, 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 go. But once you put that tiny little drop of water, it just pours, you know, overflows.
Yep.
And that was sort of what the podcast was, that last bit of water that overflowed.
It was the straw that broke a camel's back for me, I think. So.
Okay, so I don't think we really made a decision to have a break. We kind of just said, right.
It just had to happen because of where I was.
We just sort of said that's it for a week or two. And then, I mean, if you want to go in chronological order, we can.
What we've written down. I just fell into really bad ways, really bad ways. I had booked an appointment with my GP to see him to get another mental health care plan to talk about those things. And my life was literally just hanging on to that appointment, got the appointment. And I was saying all these things. And then I had to go to the hospital because of the types of things that I was saying. He made me go to the hospital and then went to the hospital, went back home, was told I would get a psychiatrist appointment because of I was considered like a severe bad case, and then I didn't get the call up to the appointment, went back to hospital again, back and forth, and that just spiraled so fucking quickly for me. And that was an indefinite end to the podcast because that was the least of our worries, sorry.
It didn't surprise me. The severity of it surprised me. I probably didn't realise that it was that bad. But also, I do remember saying, like, right, you just sort yourself out, mate. Like, you do what you need to do.
Yeah.
I think I gave you a call. I remember saying, like, I'll make some calls to sponsorships and stuff. Yep. You just look after you. I'm here if you need anything. And the podcast is I'm probably sure you knew it, but is not an issue at all. And going from there, obviously.
Yeah, so in hospital, and another lesson I learnt, which actually, because I really wanted the psychiatrist appointment, and then I'll touch on the psychiatrist later.
Yep.
And then I got medicated. I'd never been medicated before.
Yep.
And the meds I took higher dose than what my body was used to, because I've never had antidepressants, and I took quite a lot, not like overdosing.
No.
I had a high dosage.
Yeah.
So that sent me down really, really badly, as all antidepressants do when you first start them.
Yep.
That's another thing I really want to mention really quick is there are actually so many people on antidepressants that no one knows about. The amount of conversations I've had, I'm going to do a post on Instagram about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a taboo thing within mental health being a taboo topic, is people taking medication. People call them anti-Ds, antidepressants, bloody my medication. They won't want to call it. I call it my bloody happy pills.
Yeah.
Like, I get think, out. Yeah.
Okay. The term antidepressants is the correct term, but I think the term sometimes is the reason why it scares people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's a scary word. If you take antidepressants, it doesn't technically or necessarily mean that you're suffering from depression.
Yeah.
You could have a little bit of anxiety. It could just be, you know, X, Y, Z. But I think that's the part of the tabooness of it.
Yeah, because of what it's called. And people, me and Mace get up every morning, like, have you had your happy pills? Had your happy pills? Like, it is what is your medication. You can call it what you want.
Yeah.
And it's inevitable that I'm going to have to take them for years to come. And I've accepted that and I'm totally okay with it. I don't care if I take them for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
That's just the card I've been drawn,
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
Yep.
So might touch on that later and what happened in that whole experience.
Yep. Let's just flick back and forth.
Then I got COVID.
Yeah, then you got COVID. So
I had no idea where I got COVID from.
So during this time, you're in Wongan, you've come back, you've seen a psych hospital.
No, that was all out in Wongan. All out in Wongan. And I drove home and then in bed for like 3 weeks.
So I remember you saying with mum and.
Yeah.
In my meantime, I'm still living out of home.
Yeah.
Working like an absolute animal. Hours had picked up.
Yep.
And personally for me, things obviously were burning out as well. As people know, I was struggling to sleep quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just got worse and worse and worse as
and responsibilities. You put your socks on really weird.
Yeah, responsibilities. They're on weird tonight. Oh, yeah, they actually. Responsibilities were getting out of control and I was...
Yeah.
That was, I think, within my own head, looking in hindsight, which is a wonderful thing. I was probably just taking it a bit too, you know, too much on my shoulders. And in the end, I did a similar thing to you on a far, far, far less extent. I went and had a few tests done based on I was feeling rough, hey? Like I started to feel like tight in my throat. I'm like, all right, the asthma's flaring up because I'm quite asthmatic.
Yeah.
I've had a full asthma test and he was like, the doctor was, GP was like, nah, you're not wheezy at all. And I was like, no, I'm wheezy.
I'm telling you.
I've been asthmatic for like 24 years. I'm telling you right now.
I've been a doctor for less than I've been an asthmatic. Yeah, I am wheezy.
I'm wheezing. He's like, mate, you're not wheezing. And he's like, all right, I think you got a problem with your heart. I've done a lung test, everything at this stage. I'm like, right. He's like, we'll do a heart test and a blood test.
Yeah.
And if you ever had your heart tested, one, having your heart tested is scary because if you have a problem with your heart, gee whiz.
Strike.
So I'm like, you know, the ECG where they clip you all up and everything. Have you ever had one before? No, seen what it looks like? It's like they clip you up everywhere. It's crazy.
That's cool.
Came back. He was like, you want the good news or the bad news? I was like, oh, good. The good news. He's like, you don't have a problem with your heart and your blood say that you're physically so healthy.
Yeah.
I'm like, right. Yeah, I'm a weapon. All right. That's what he said. Okay. And then he was like, bad news. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Why am I like, literally like, I've got like, my throat was so tight. Hey, I thought I had allergies or asthma. He's like, right. You're not looking after yourself mentally. From what I've told, like you're burnt out. You're not sleeping. You're stressed. I think you've just got a little bit of like anxiety around sleep.
Yeah.
And this is why I want to talk about it because I'm not like a person that's suffering at all, really. Yeah. But he was like, I need you to take these tablets. They are quote unquote antidepressants, but don't stress, they'll help you sleep. So I don't take mine in the morning, I take mine at night, the lowest dosage you can, it's like real small, and it essentially just helps you sleep.
Yep.
So what that's done is remove the I was getting real stressed. Like, I'd go to bed stressed about going to bed, if that makes sense. Like, am I going to sleep? Am I not? Am I going to get 7 hours? Am I not? And that's just ridiculous. Like, in hindsight, but I can't help it. So these things just essentially put you to sleep. And that's really removed all that sort of anxiousness, tight feeling around my throat and everything.
Yeah.
So the point of that is that you said antidepressants, but like,
at the end,
you don't really know what people are on, because I'm on the low dose that's helping me sleep at night. And also, if anyone's ever had them, they do make you feel like shit for a while.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty glad that I just have one of those once a night.
Yeah.
And it helps me sleep.
And there's no problem with relying on that to help you sleep. It's so normal.
No.
Actually, I was going to go into me having COVID, but before that.
Oh, yeah. It's good that you and I, it's like 4 weeks into this 17 weeks. Hit rock bottom.
So I suppose going back to me being in hospital and then me being at home, I didn't really dive into that, and I said I was going to, so I will. I just reached a really, really low, depressed, anxiety-filled headspace that just got worse and worse and worse. It was what I was doing for work, where I was living, the environment I was in, what I was going to do with myself, things with messages and everything building up and reaching the expectations that I put on myself.
The messages and online presence was a real big one for you. I can see that.
Yeah.
We've spoken about that before.
That, or everything put together, just piled and piled and piled. And then it just cracked because I didn't manage it properly.
Yeah.
And it just got to a point where I was just in bed. I would eat a handful of grapes a day. I lost like 7 kilos in like just over a week. Really, really bad headspace. Really, like, really suicidal. I haven't told you that. I'd tell people, like, really bad. And that was, like, one of the only things that would calm my mind. I feel like people relate to this, that people wouldn't talk about it. And it's very open for me to talk about it. Mum knows it. One of the only things that would help me calm myself at night to sleep is actually thinking about doing it. And that's, like, that's as raw and full on as you get at rock bottom of the only thing that can rest my mind is to actually think about doing that. And that's the stage I was at. And so I think for me, that was the biggest stretch to get out of that, my biggest lucky band to get out of that headspace and move into where I did and go out for a walk, which is the hardest thing ever, just being out. The only thing I liked, nighttime was okay, watching TV. All the daytime was catastrophic. I hated it. And then just that in and out, in and out, in and out. Going to go to Wong? No, I can't this weekend. Do it next weekend.
Yeah.
So that over and over again. Yeah. And so that was probably my whole story. That's actually a very short version. But people wondering, that was that.
I think we will touch on it. We'll go a little bit further. But this podcast has been all about perspective and tips and you know, all these ways and how you can manage things. So I think it would be beneficial to talk a lot, just as much, if not more, about
getting out of it.
Yeah, because you never really get out of it. We've spoken about how to get out of a rut or how to manage your sleep, but I think it would be beneficial to tell people from both of our point of views about different circumstances as well, how we have found ourselves. Well, you're at least feeling healthy enough that you can come here and do an episode and your time's opened up, and so was mine. And I'm, so like, it would be good to talk about that as well.
So, well, for me, I just became really dependent on wanting to see a psychiatrist because I wanted to be diagnosed with XYZ that I had, that I knew I had, because I know that I'm different. I know that I struggle with these things and more than just everyday little struggles.
Yeah.
And I became very dependent on that. I would research psychiatrists because I didn't want to go to a bad one. Everyone's books were closed. They were so booked out. They weren't taking new patients. And then that made it worse and worse and worse. And part of the shift...
That's an anxiety.
Yes. And that drove it worse. Yeah. And then when the medication sort of settled in and things like that settled in, and I would like go for the... I'd go to the beach with mum and stuff to get mum to get me out of the house.
Yeah.
And then it just became accepting that I don't need to see a psychiatrist to tell me what I'm diagnosed with. That's not going to change who I am or how I am. That's all that they're going to do is confirm I'm a certain way. The next day I wake up, I'm still going to be the same person.
Yep.
So for me, it was accepting, okay, I've got depression. Okay, I've got anxiety. I'm going to have anxiety for the rest of my life. Yep. I'm aware of that. That's who I am. A psychiatrist telling me that isn't going to change me living with that. So it was up to me to just go, righto, this is who I am. This is how I am. And I finally got to a stage where I could work through it at the lowest of lows. It's, why do I have to hold on for other people? Yep. People say, these many people love you, these people love you. Okay, why do I have to hold on for them when I don't want to for myself? And yep. You can't focus on all these extra positives when your mind's that bad. But when you slowly get out of it, have your support system around you, break, just get out of your box ever so slightly, ever and then get out of bed for a little bit extra this day than yesterday. Have a shower in the morning, go back to bed. Have some food, go back to bed, rather than in bed all day long. And it's little steps every day. And then mum was my biggest support system.
Yeah, I was going to say, mum, yeah.
And her being there for me all the time and helping me through things. And, yeah, I think it was just all the little things that you do.
I like the structure of where this is going in time, so we'll talk about it more later. But one thing just to build on that as well is that just taking what you've said there and our friendship and this podcast, right, there was a moment where we caught up and didn't even consider like all this like external noise that we've been dealing with, such like the podcast, the sponsors, and we just had a real like catch up about nothing,
but
a lot at the same time. We went for a stroll, and we can talk about it in more detail later, but we were talking about like back in the day when I was at uni and you were just chilling, like we had no real responsibility.
And footy and
those, it's just, my point was going to be that it's when you strip life back to its simple form, it just comes down to the little things and the simple things. And
it does.
The life is so messy and stressful and busy, and that's part of it. But when you do strip whatever it is back, like you've said, it doesn't change who you are. You just enjoy, you know, the little things.
Yeah, and it's the little things that, when you're in these headspaces, that you resort to get you through them.
Yep.
And it just reiterates that the little things are the things that matter the most in life, I think.
Yep,
and so, yeah, I got into, then I got COVID.
Yeah, so how is that? Because I've just come out of having COVID, and I can imagine if you're by yourself 7 days, it's quite difficult.
For me, I don't know where I got it. It might have been in the shop or something with mum or whatever.
Yep.
And then mum was a close contact.
Yep.
So we went and isolated in Moore River together.
Okay, yep.
That was a wicked week.
Great.
We just, mum and I, she'd cook me food every, we'd do a puzzle and read book and whatnot. So we had a good time together.
Can I just touch on COVID and isolating stuff? Well, I said it would be difficult for you.
Yeah.
I think WA, we're very lucky that we don't really know the extent to what East Coast has had it, but there are significant studies on mental health and isolating from home and lockdowns and stuff.
Oh,
and I can imagine it being really difficult. I think 7 days is a long time.
Yep.
And for people that are doing it for 14, 21, 28, back when lockdowns were a thing, that's ridiculous. Why I asked, I thought, look, it's either going to be really good or really bad for you.
Mine was
glad,
really good,
I'm glad that the time lined up where you're at home with your mum.
Yep.
And you can have a bit of a weekend, and you are lucky that you go down to Moore River. It's not a bad place of the world to be.
It's not difficult at all there. So that was COVID. I was pretty, like snotty and coughy for a couple of days and really fatigued.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it for me.
Yeah. I've had COVID this week.
Yeah. Now, what was your experience?
Sore throat.
That's bad.
And pretty much just
feeling. Late to the party, mate.
I just felt gross, hey.
Loser.
I still feel just off a little bit, but I had a good time. 7 days off and
sleep, train, repeat. I'd felt fatigued 2 months, I think, after.
Yeah, that's not good. It's not good news, hey.
Like, it really held on to me, the fatigue side effect.
There's a lot of talk around long-term effects.
It's probably the jab.
Yeah, probably. anyway, before you went on holiday. No, you went on holiday.
No, after that. So I had COVID in Moore River, and then I started journaling. Now, journaling was another thing that I started doing, and I'd always thought, oh, I don't need a journal. I wouldn't mind trying it. I don't need a journal.
Yep.
And I write down, people get structured journal books,
yep.
and they buy them. They're like $40, $50, and it's like three goals, this, that, the other. For me, looking at that, I get stressed. I get full of anxiety that I've got to fill out these things.
Yep.
Every day I'd do different things. It would be one thing today I'm specifically going to be grateful for. Three things I'm going to achieve today. Might be going for a walk, drink 2 litres of water, have a chat to mum about something, and then how I'm feeling.
Do you realise all these things are things that you've told people to do?
Yeah.
They are, right?
Yep.
Just like hydrate and write things down that are bothering you. And like I love that. It's just...
I find it very ironic, and that's just evidence.
It's hard to do, man. It's easier said than done.
Yeah, evidence that I was just burning my candle out
and
pouring from an empty cup, that I wasn't doing the things I was telling people to practice. And people are telling me, I messaged me like, oh, I did this, that was great, I just started doing this. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome, bro. And I'm not doing any of it myself. So journaling, just the things you're going to appreciate today, things you're grateful for, which I often write down, friends and family and opportunities and where I live and fresh air outside and clean water to drink. I would often, because I was...
There's got to be science, but there's something about writing something that gets it in your head.
Yeah.
Like, I never was at uni, I was never a typer.
Yeah.
Because, like, something about writing...
Yeah, when you actually write it down, it sticks.
You actually write it, yeah. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So doing that, I saw a psych and... In my mind, because my mind was just flooded with such bad negative thoughts, and I have very low self value.
Yeah.
I don't value myself. That's my biggest issue. I don't rate myself. I'm not insecure.
Yep.
I just don't value myself and who I am as a person. So to write these things down and say these things in my mind, if I'm flooding my head with negative thoughts and forcefully override them for 15 seconds and fill it with positive thoughts, even if it's so difficult to do, that's an extra 15 seconds of my day spent filling my mind with positive thoughts. Mm-hmm. And that will soon get more and more. But for me, and it was hard to accept, but I have accepted it. I had to, for so long, and still do, every day, have to tell myself positive things around me, positive things happening, good things around me, just to fill my mind with good headspace. And I was like, why the fuck did I have to draw this card in life that I have to constantly remind myself of the good things around me just to stay somewhat happy? And it's like, no point having that mindset. It's okay, great. I'm fortunate enough that I can list all these good, happy things around me. And it's all perspective on how you look at the situation. So that's where I'm at around that, I think.
I feel like whether you know it or not, the ability, because you're in this stage, you might still be, but at this start you're talking about, you're in a pretty big hole, right?
Yep.
A rut, whatever you want to call it. The ability to even think about perspective and looking at the positive, all these sort of things shows that at least there's, like, you've still got some core part about you that's there. And I think you just need to work it, continuing to write it out, and that will bring it out of you, if that makes sense. Like, I know it's easier said than done, but there is a reason why we are believers in this sort of stuff, because we're the ones that bloody say it on the freaking podcast. Yeah. Like, you've got to continue to try and do that. And if you can find the positives, then I'm sure with time and whatnot, working on yourself, that you'll find some form of happiness.
And it's not easy. And one of the hardest things I was told is it's not going to be an easy journey, and it's going to take a lot of work.
No, I can imagine that.
The last thing I had in me was knowing that I had to work towards this and it was going to be difficult. But it's just day by day, and I had to learn that all I had to focus about was the next 24 hours. After that, didn't matter. After that was irrelevant.
That's literally stripping life back to the simple form of just one day at a time. Yeah. Hey?
What's happening today? I'm going to the shop. This is great. I can buy these things. Awesome. I've got the money to buy these things. I can walk out of the shop. I've got two legs to walk on.
Yeah.
And it's the 24-hour block. So that's a bit of advice I can give to people that struggle with what's to come and what's happening. Focus your life in 24-hour blocks of what's going to happen now. I'm not going to even think or comprehend about what's happening after this 24-hour period, because
being present is something that is exceptionally simple but exceptionally difficult.
I agree.
Because people often either live so much in the past that they get stuck and fixated on what's happened, or they think about or stress about what's to come without actually dealing with what's here and now. And that's something
absolutely that I completely
accepted
agree.
And learned a lot the last few
17 weeks,
119 days. I think a good move that you took was to take some time off work and go on holiday.
So another thing, I use perspective. It sucked that I had to take 4 or 5 weeks off work with annual leave that I'd built up for so long, because I was going to treat myself to a holiday. When I quit, I'm going to get all this money.
Yep.
And I had to use my annual leave to lay in bed all day.
Yep.
And it's like, fuck, this is so shit. Why'd this happen? But then I go...
literally four things like that.
Yeah, and I go, fuck, I'm so grateful that I have a job that I can accumulate annual leave for these situations. Nice. And it's just perspective on the situation. Nice. There's always another way to look at a scenario or situation that's happening in life. And
because how many people out there don't have a job?
Exactly. How many people out there lay in bed depressed that aren't still getting money every week? And it's
a good way to think about it.
And it's just, what's the point in drowning myself in this sucks, when it's so great that I was able to have that.
Yep.
So
yep.
I guess that's another one. Where were we at to?
You went on holiday?
Yeah, I went on a bloody holiday up the coast.
How was it?
All the way up to Broome.
Difficult?
The very start of it was very, very difficult.
Yep. Can imagine.
Because I'd moved out to Wongan the day before, so when I came back from the holiday, I wasn't going back home and having... So I had to bite the bullet, move out to Wongan.
Yep.
Moved out of where I was living, because I was in a share house. And moved out to a mate on his farm.
Yep.
Mates on his farm.
I've known for quite a while. I mentioned that earlier, very good call.
Yep. And then now I work with him on the farm.
Yep. Great.
And that for me, I'm just going to open it up now. I didn't realise where I lived and what I was doing for work was such a big...
I could say that.
Negative...
I told you that.
Black.
The thing is, though, is that I don't think you realise it, but I think you subconsciously, you said it over and over again.
Yeah, I knew it.
If that makes sense.
But the severity of it and the impact it would have on me, I didn't think it would.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if that's where I'm living, sleeping, breathing, eating, and going to work, spending 8, 9, 10, 11 hours of my day, obviously I'm not going to feel good. If it's shit and I wish it was different, I can't push it aside what is around me 24/7.
Is this a big call? Tell me if I'm wrong. But one of the reasons why the podcast went so well was because you were so willing to come to Perth because you didn't want to spend the weekend up there.
No, actually.
You don't reckon?
No.
You were happy to stay?
I did like Wongan. That's the thing. I like going to the gym up there.
Not Wongan. The house.
Yes and no, I guess. Sometimes it was nice to come to Perth and sometimes.
Yeah, just think especially early days, I think.
Yeah. No, it was early days. It was nice to come down. No, that's probably ever so slightly part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's realising these such big key pieces in your life, even if they don't seem like the worst things happening, when they're filling up so much of your life, they do become the worst things.
The point there was is that it's not one week isolation. It's week after week after week, day after day. When you add shit on top of shit on top of shit on top of shit on top of shit, it does add up.
So a big one for everyone, if your living environment or your work environment is off and you're in a really bad headspace, but you're not going to blame those things, you don't have to blame them. Try look at other options and you will be amazed at the change you can make in your life every day, waking up knowing it's something you'd rather do or in a place you're more comfortable being in. Then I went on the trip up to, I'll tell you that quick, 3-week trip all up the coast, up to Broome, fell in love with Broome, and then came back down and don't need to go into the trip. What about you, mate?
All right, well, we've got one more
thing. Let's go before the holiday.
We've got one more thing on the agenda before we can touch on those things. For those that don't know, I work in the public service.
What's the public service?
The public sector of government.
You're the Prime Minister.
Yeah, I'm. let's just say I worked for a Member of Parliament, and obviously, as most
people know, politics.
Yep, the election.
For simple minds like me.
The election came up, and for those that don't work in it, people don't realise, and I've said this a lot to my family recently, but for everyone that you see on TV that got a job or won a seat, or, you know, the new Prime Minister, there's another side there that just lost their job.
Yep.
And there's another 8 to 10 people, if not 20 people within that office that just lost their job. So the election day is a great day for some, but it's actually like a massacre of jobs.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
So for everyone that took a job, someone lost it. And it's like a brutal, brutal day. Everyone gets up at like 3 a.m. and they go to bed late. And look, let's just say I'm still in a job, but it was very, very close. And I had to use the podcast advice and live in the present and not worry about what was to come. For example, when it's really close, you don't really find out on the day. It drags out. Yep. It's been dragging out for a while, but it's fine now. It dragged out for about 2 weeks. And what I learned in that was that, one, everything will happen for a reason. So if I lose my job, it's just meant to be.
Yep.
And two, I can control what I can control. During work time leading up to the election, I controlled some things.
Yep.
But once people have put their pen to paper, I don't control anything.
Absolutely.
So,
no, that's good.
No point worrying about it. So,
bloody oath.
it's good in hindsight when you win because you can look back on it and still have a job and be positive. But I think it was a massive learning curve about stress and managing time. Mm. And I'm grateful for that experience. So I look forward to going back to my job and starting fresh.
But
I learn a lot about all the things that you and I try and tell people that I probably need to apply them to my own life. So that was good.
Yep. Go back to that point you didn't want to say before.
The next bits are going to be tough for you. Sorry, pardon me. They're going to be tough for you and I.
Oh, gosh. You go. Okay. Yours was first, so you go.
So, for both of us.
Yours was first, so you go.
I'm going to talk generally and we'll get into it. For both of us, we're mature adults. And part of being an adult is forming relationships with people.
Yep.
And part of being an adult and growing up is falling out of relationships.
Yep, that's well said.
And unfortunately, both you and I have experienced that in the last 17 weeks.
Yep.
And being mature adults, as I said, I think it's important to respect and understand things. And we're not going to talk about people. And
I'm not talking down on anyone. You know, I don't even like calling her my ex. It's just rude.
Yeah. I think the point is that things happen for a reason. There's no point being negative about anything.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to acknowledge that and let's talk about it for people that are going through the same thing and what we've learned.
Oh, excellent, mate. Excellent.
Okay. So
me, you go first.
I don't know if you want to say they're different circumstances, but for me, I have the classic good split.
Yep.
I would say we're on good terms.
Yep.
Wish her all the best.
Yep.
And I'm sure she will achieve many things.
Yep.
But I have acknowledged that I'm not part of that. So I will use that as
move on
motivation, positivity.
Yep.
So what have I learnt in the last... So what happened was it happened on a Monday.
Yep.
And then I flew to Canberra.
On a Tuesday, you're on Tinder.
No, not true.
I'm joking.
I flew to Canberra on Friday for work. That 7 days, this is going to sound so silly because I acknowledge that it's all within my own realms, but that 7 days was the hardest part of days of my life.
Yep.
Probably nothing that you've had to go through, mate. I understand that, but for me, it was difficult.
Oh, absolutely. It's grief.
Going away with your boss is a weird thing, man. Let's just say that you're with someone all the time, so you're in company, but you don't talk about that
it's
stuff.
It's not exactly your...
But you can't get away.
Nah.
You can't have your alone time. So it was 7 days of in your own head.
How's the weather?
Yeah, and the weather was terrible. It was cold as.
At least you had conversation then.
But I knew that all I had to do was get through the 7 days of work.
Yep.
And the worst of it's gone.
Yep.
And I found comfort in that.
That's good.
Like, this is the worst it's going to get, and that's not. It's just part of it. Like, I understand that's part of it. So I flew home, and I remember landing in Perth, and just being like, weight off the shoulders. I'm back now. Like,
no, that's
the start
good. Absolutely.
Of a new sort of era of things and an opportunity. So then when I've come back since then, I have sort of been forced to click reset. And I think it links in with what we said about the podcast and burning out and stress and not being able to sleep and everything. It's been a forced reset for my life to start all over again with, you know, routines and time management and activities. There's been some key things I've done that sound small, but in the hindsight of what everything's been, it's big to me.
Mm-hmm.
First thing was, right, I looked at it and I said, right, I've got a bit more time on my hands now.
Yep.
And how do I want to feel that? Do I want to feel that being, you know, sad and doom and gloom?
Yep.
And that's fine to be like that as well. You need your time to do that. But do I want to do that and sit at home and do nothing?
Yep.
Or do I want to, you know, get back into the gym? I was going to the gym, but properly, I've been doing that. I've started up playing sport again, community sport.
Yep.
I think it was an opportunity to... I joined with one guy I know, but completely new group of people. Like, it's refresh. And then I've started to dedicate more time to, like, the good people in my life, you know, spend a bit more time with friends and family.
Yep.
And sometimes you need that forced reset.
Absolutely.
I've come to terms with things that, like, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, and it's not, it's not. Like, it just is what it is. That's not my fault. That's not her fault. That's just things obviously within a relationship happen and you grow up and blah, blah, blah. But like once you're out of it, you can't really, like I said, be present.
Yep.
You can't really go back and control any of that.
Mm.
So I've taken real big comfort, in just being like so like forward thinking about things. And as I said about the election, it worked in a time where that became really busy, and it gave me time to really focus on that.
Occupy your mind and that, yeah.
So those are some major things. I mean, we can go into individual tips if you want later on.
I think we will do a relationship episode.
Yeah, I think which, it's pretty raw at the moment. Like, it's not...
It is.
It's not easy to go into.
I called her... It was only Sunday.
Okay.
It was a week ago.
Yeah.
Less than a week ago.
Yeah.
And I called her yesterday, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, we were talking here and there, on and off, nothing. Yeah. And I just said, we're doing a podcast, and she knows how open and honest and raw I am about it, and I just say things. It's our podcast. It's my podcast. I can frankly say what I want.
Yeah.
And I told her, out of respect for you and us and everything, I'm not going to talk into detail of our relationship.
No. I honestly don't see a point, though, in either of us doing that, because... realistically, the only thing that you can really control and make improvement in is yourself now.
You, and lessons you've learned. So we'll talk about a few lessons. I'll talk about a lesson or something I learned. Nothing in particular to her or might not even be our relationship. It might be past relationship that came up.
Yeah, okay. We both had past relationships before this, so it's probably...
We still want a real relationship whole episode.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Two things I've recently come across. Something I learned is that insecurities in a relationship are... okay.
Of course.
And you don't need to completely figure out or sort out your insecurities before getting a new relationship.
No.
Just have to be open and honest and raw about them every time they arise, or from the beginning, this makes me feel uncomfortable. Can you please make this or do this a little bit different because of what's happened in my past around this? Yep. And if you're in a loving relationship, they'll go, absolutely no worries.
Yep.
Do not let it boil over and get nasty, get angry, you get short with them because of something you don't know how to deal with that's happened in your past that you're taking out on your current partner.
Yep. Agreed.
So you need to realize that insecurities are okay, and if they're dealt with appropriately, that's fantastic. They're manageable. But it's when they're taken out on you based off their past, that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
That's one. Second one, I saw in a video the other day, the best relationship advice.
Mm-hmm.
Someone went up to someone in the street and said, what's your best relationship advice? And he said, this is easily the best relationship advice I've had and I've ever given. And it was, a relationship isn't 50-50.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Is it a guy going to a guy?
Yeah.
I don't, it was like one of those common pages that was posted.
Yeah, I've seen this.
A relationship isn't 50-50, it's 100%. Shut up, man. Can we restart the whole episode now?
We had to laugh. Yeah, go on.
Now I feel embarrassed. I'm going to talk about it. You can talk about it. No, fuck you.
Goes up to...
No, I'm finishing it.
Yeah, 50. I'm recapping it. 50-50.
A relationship isn't 50-50. It's 100% and 100%. And you give your 100% on one day, and it might be, in comparison, it might be 20%. And you don't go tick for tack, oh, I did this, I did that, I did this, because their 100 another day might be 20 compared to yours another day. And it's how you're feeling on the day, how you're going that week, that month. You give your 100% every single day that you can give that person, and you have a happy relationship. You don't record what you did for them and they didn't do to you. You don't go tick for tack, I did this, you do this, I did this, you did this. It's your 100% every single day of what your 100% is that day.
Yep.
And that will equate to a healthy, happy relationship.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me say it.
Can't argue with that.
Thanks.
I think let's just finish on this topic and move on.
Because we're going to make a whole episode about it.
Quick fire questions. Because this is important that people understand this. Okay. Because obviously, as I said, relationships are a part of...
We're good for time.
Everyone's life. Yeah, we're good, mate. Obviously, relationships are a part of, you know, everyone's life. And majority of our audience are those growing up and probably more prevalent than most other years, right?
Well said.
I think it's important to acknowledge that this podcast reaches a fair amount of youth, that people see the way that we're sort of behaving towards the situation. So, quick fire question. Do you have any regret in the relationship at all?
No. There are things I wish I did differently at times, and they're lessons learnt.
Yep. Any animosity or like anger or like hatred to that person?
It's not necessarily. It's a waste of headspace, and I don't grow or learn or benefit anything from hating someone else in a relationship.
Are you a better person now than you were beforehand?
I'm not going to say I'm a better person, right. but I've learnt more things that I can implement that might not make me a better person. It's up to someone's interpretation of me.
Sort of where I was going. Yeah.
Sorry. Just word your questions better next time.
My point was what I've learnt was I don't really have any regrets about it.
Yeah.
Right. I have the opposite of anger and hatred. I really like respect and value that person and wish them all the best. And thirdly, I am whatever you want to say, like learnt more things. I am a much better person to deal with life.
Yep.
Or whatever it is because of that relationship. And yep. I think it's important that people see that we're that way about things because there's so much stupid shit.
And it's the only way worth being. The biggest red flag for me that I think, and it always has been this way, is someone that always points the finger at their ex. Yeah. My ex was so bad. They were so this. They were so bad.
The comments on TikTok when we posted this were horrific.
There's
a lot of it.
But it's true. If you meet someone and all you hear about is how bad their past relationships were because of their ex, what does that do for anything or anyone? The fact they point, okay, they might not have been a good partner, but the fact that all they could focus on is what they did wrong doesn't benefit anyone.
Yeah.
And anyone can do that all day long, but you're not going to grow or develop or look mature. It's just a red flag in my opinion. Yep. What was your last follow-up question?
Oh, my last one?
Yeah, mate.
Was going to be, if you take one thing away from the situation, looking forward, what is it? You want me to do mine?
You do yours, because obviously you've thought about
it. I'm going to spend, from that time that it happened to now, 12 months, right, purely focusing on me and me only, which will involve me being selfish.
Yep.
Right? And that's a bit of a rough word in some context.
Remind me to jump on that in a second.
But I'm going to be a bit selfish for the next 12 months. And whether it's career or things like the gym and fitness or whatever it is, I'm just going to put me first for a while. And that's not saying I didn't.
Yep.
But I'm at the age now, I'm turning 25 in December, where...
Oh, boy.
Yeah. This is the time to be selfish and just work on me.
Yep.
So that's my number one takeaway to finish.
No, I will agree with that. Definitely.
Selfish, he said.
The selfish. I think the term selfish has been misinterpreted by everyone in society. You've used selfish.
Yep.
It's not selfish to put yourself first in scenarios where you need to start putting yourself first. That's not selfish. That's self-care. That's what you need to do to get by, to enjoy yourself. You cannot, as we said, you cannot pour from an empty cup. You need to give yourself self-care sometime. And we can call it selfish, but the fact that the word selfish is misinterpreted,
I just think, like,
so broadly.
I think my point was sort of around things like, for example, like, unless I meet someone real, real good, it's me
before. Oh, for sure.
It sounds bad, but it's like me before them, which...
But you don't owe them anything, so it's just self-care.
True, but you're right. Okay, I agree with you 100%. But
thanks, mate.
I think the word selfish was
a good agree.
Way for society to put it, but I agree with you there. It probably isn't selfish.
So it's just self-care. Yeah. That's a takeaway for everyone that's in a relationship or just getting out of one or doesn't know how to be.
Yeah.
It's we can say selfish as long as you don't misinterpret it in the wrong way. It's self-care because you need to look after yourself.
I agree. Yep.
Sick.
And I think last thing to say as well is I'm not sure that you and I, if we both were still in relationships, would be sitting here right now doing the episode.
That's a big thing. As you said, it helps you realise and reset and then pick up other things you used to do, like go to the gym, join soccer, do these other things. It frees up your actual time and it frees up headspace to do these other things.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Oh, obviously you can manage them in a relationship, but obviously they're going to get a whole lot of your time, effort and energy.
Yep.
And so, it's just a matter of what you're...
I'm actually thoroughly impressed with how this has gone. There's been the most mature conversation we've had.
Well, we came out of relationships and we're all the better for it, obviously. What did you What did you expect?
Doesn't mean it's any easier or anything like
not
that.
Not at all,
but
not at all.
I sympathise with people going through anything like that. Everyone's has done, but if you're going through it now...
Grief's inevitable and you've got to ride the waves.
Yep.
And...
Yep.
Accept it's there. Don't suppress it because suppressing grief will only lead you to feel worse, unfortunately.
Yep.
Right. I will talk about Broome quick.
All right. Yep. Life events.
When I was at Broome, I met some people.
This was good.
Was told about a job I could go for that I'd really like. I won't say the company. I went and did a little trial day with them in Perth. They've got an academy in Perth. And then I had interviews. I talked to a bloke that worked for him and stuff for a while, and I was really confident. I thought I was going to move to Broome. It's going to be wicked. I loved it up there. Met so many people. And then I didn't get the job. Someone older with more experience got the job, and it hurt. Beforehand, I knew the mindset I needed to have, but it still hurt. And then a couple of days later, I accepted the mindset that I had told myself. And it was, what's going to happen is going to happen.
Yep.
And there's no point looking in a negative way. If I didn't get the job, obviously, for whatever reason, I was meant to stay in Wongan, stay in Perth a little bit longer, yep. find my feet a bit more. That was the reason I didn't get the job. That if I moved up there, I could have broken down again, not had mum there, not this, that, and the other. And that's the only real effective, worthwhile way to look at the scenario when I said, they said really good in the interview, did the list great.
I've been there before.
Yeah. And it's kicking the guts, but it's okay. For whatever reason, I don't know it, but I wasn't ready to go relocate to Broome because of ABC things that still had to happen for me here.
It's very funny that we started on the 17-week joke about how long it's been, but what's happened just to yourself in the last 17 weeks has been extreme and it's been difficult, but the overarching themes are across all sort of events are all the same.
Sure.
They're all the same. So what you just said about not getting the job, Broome, going through a bit of a breakup. Obviously, it's a little bit different with mental health, but the more the themes are, it's all about perspective.
Yep.
Does everything happen for a reason?
Yep.
You know, positive mindset, reinforcement. Like, I just feel like, obviously, a lot to an extreme sense happened to you in the 17 weeks.
Yep.
But I just feel like life and everything, it's just weird listening to it.
That no, you're, same so, you're themes, so right.
So, like, you're talking about, I interviewed well, I didn't get the job, and then I'm like, well, I told that same story about myself,
yeah.
And then you told me advice, and I told you the same advice in 17 weeks later. Like, but you get what I'm saying? I just feel like
absolutely.
I remember I gave you a call. We need to speak about that. The walk. I gave you a call, and I was like, "Look, mate, like this has happened. Broken up. And we went for a walk, and you started giving me advice about all these things that like we spoke about on the podcast that I had been neglecting."
Mm.
And then like 3 weeks later, I'm giving you the same advice that you gave me that you've been neglecting. And it's funny, as I said, it's easier said than done, but we do the voice memos. They're classic. You're like, yeah, I told you, I listen to yourself. And then I'm like, no, listen to yourself.
Yeah, no, it's true.
One of the things that we haven't spoken about with that was that walk. We went on a walk. We caught up, in a while, and a lot had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we strolled down the beautiful coastal path at Iluka.
Which we love to do.
And at that stage, it wasn't quite the weather it is now.
Yes.
But we spoke about everything that was like not important.
Yeah.
All the things, the little things that weren't important about when we used to play footy, just, we used to go out and have no responsibility and I carried you through the city.
Just hooligans.
Bumping into people, like just having a real laugh. Like,
yep.
And it was all about, one thing that stuck with me was like when we talked about when you and I used to go to the gym, we used to just do nothing, like stand around and make jokes and do stupid exercises for hours and just talk. And it was like no responsibility. Like it was just the little things that mattered. And when you strip life back and work takes over and the podcast takes over and relationships take over and everything's happening, when you strip life back into its simplest form is that's when you find the most enjoyment and happiness.
You're
like
so right.
Not a coincidence that some of our best times have been when there's been
just
no external pressure whatsoever other than just being young and
it hasn't, we haven't needed money to experience those times. No. I've got plenty of money and I ended up in hospital and in bed for 3 weeks. Please, whatever you do, don't worry or look at money.
What, like, if you think of the top of your head now, some of the best moments we've had, like can you name them?
Well, easily football Saturday nights.
Yeah. And that people might be thinking that we're talking about drinking and carrying on, but like that's was part of it. We get drinking and went out and stuff, but I don't think that was the main. We didn't need alcohol to have those moments.
It was just a simple.
Yeah, it's hindsight though. Yeah. It's all. And that's what I was going to say to you is that we'll probably be 30 and look back at the days we did the podcast and think that were the simple times, right?
Yeah.
Fuck. That's the mindset though, and it's
so true.
It's hindsight. And so when we're walking down this coastal path and we're both going through, you obviously, I mean, it's levels of things, but we're both going through a bit of a rough patch, and we look back on the times where we had no responsibility.
Yep.
Right? But I still remember in those times that you were still stressed about what you were going to do and whether you should go to Wongan or not.
Yeah.
And I still had uni pressures and stuff, but you don't remember that. You just remember the simple, like how simple it was.
Yep.
So it's all hindsight. So I think one day we'll look back and, oh, remember we did that 17 week, we had that break.
And now we're at number one.
Character building and now, possibly.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. You made a really good point there.
I've learned so much about the simple things, like literally like looking back on some of the moments I've had with yourself, as I said, going out, but some of the other boys that I've mates with as well. And looking back at the moments when I was in uni, and just thinking like,
I going to the footy and stuff, and the banter we've had.
Remember we went to the footy and we did that TikTok where you just abuse and people. Yeah, it's a simple time. The thing is though, is that like they're the memories. But in hindsight, it wasn't simple times. It just feels like that. Like,
You're right.
Hindsight, we get caught up. If I think about with everything going on, external pressures, then they're only going to get more and more as life goes on. But in short, trying to summarise all of that is that like just remember that like life is in its simplest form what it really is.
And that's when it's at its best.
That's when it's at the best, when you just focus on things.
Absolutely. I was just reading back on the board. Another thing I'd learnt with journaling, I'd have two journals. I'd have my journal for the morning and night of the things, and I'd have a worry journal.
Okay.
And I'd have 5-10 minutes of worry period every morning, every night, whatever it might be. It was a different journal, and as soon as I open that up, I write my worries down, the shit thoughts in my mind, the shit that's... I wouldn't create the thoughts in my mind. It was because then you're bringing them to your mind.
Yeah.
It's dumping the thoughts that are currently going through your mind, putting it all in that book.
Yeah.
When you close that book, put it on the shelf, put it in the drawer, that's where your negative thoughts are. And you're going to dump your negative thoughts there tomorrow morning, tonight, whatever it might be. And so that's another thing that someone might be able to try out there is just a worry journal.
Building on that, this podcast was built on the foundation of bloke to bloke, two different guys, different mindsets, blah, blah, blah. There's going to be people like you that think that's great and they're going to do that. And there's going to be people that are similar to me that have been like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. On a very simple, small scale, as I said, with work, getting so busy. Every day, I got my coffee. First 5 minutes, what did I do?
Stonks.
To-do list. And stonks. To-do list, right?
Yeah.
Writing down everything that was on my mind that I need to do for the day, right?
Yeah.
It increases your productivity so much because it's all that... cluster fuck in your head and it's now out on paper, and that is just a simple form of what you said. So whether you want to take it to one side of it,
depending on
everything
where
it's
you're still, at
it's the same principles, if that makes sense. So I just thought it'd be important that there'll be a lot of people agreeing with you and there'll be some people going, I don't need to do that. But well, you're doing that when you're at your to-do list, because if you're like me and you've got so much going in your head and you want to make sure you get it right and you've got to get it done and you put it on paper, that's this is the same principle. It's the exact
absolutely
same principle.
Absolutely.
Second thing you learn about journaling.
Hey?
You said there was two things about journaling.
No, sorry, that was two different journals.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So a positive, good thoughts, and then a bad thoughts journal.
I don't know if it...
Close that book.
It's a minor point, but I've seen a lot... Watched in COVID, so I've watched a lot of YouTube and all this sort of stuff. The most successful people journal, from what I've seen, to some extent.
We have crazy minds that go bananas. It's somewhere to put your crazy thoughts.
Like, I've watched a lot of fitness like content over the last... And it's even journaling about like...
You got a six-pack?
Me? No, I've been watching it, mate. I've been in bed. No, I haven't been in bed. They do a lot of like, how did today go? How am I feeling? Yep. What am I doing tomorrow? How's my eating? That's the same sort of principle as how's my head feeling? Or what have I got to do today? Like, it's all that sort of stuff. So,
absolutely.
You know, that was my point, is that just because you might feel like, oh, I don't want to do that, it's silly, blah, blah, blah. It's not silly. But even if you think that, you are doing that anyway when you to-do list. You need to get it out of your head.
No, it's true.
And what did I say before? And you agreed, when you write it down, it sticks.
Yep. So whatever you can implement there works best for you, do that. Fuck, what did you say before? I picked up on something that... Oh, yeah. Gym.
I love Jim. He's a good bloke.
I've had pretty much 17 weeks off gym.
Yep.
I've been three times, I think, in 16, 17 weeks. And the biggest thing I've learned is that I've got a healthy body. I don't need to have a six-pack to have a healthy body. I don't need to have veins coming out of my biceps to have a healthy body. They're all luxuries. I've got two legs and a healthy heartbeat.
Yep.
That's physically, basically, all I really need. Anything more than that is a luxury.
Yep.
And I used to love the gym. I really dedicated the gym.
100%, yep.
Everything. And losing that... I sort of miss it, but that's so far from
being... So you're telling me you stripped it back to the simplest form?
Well, what can I say? That seems to be the topic of this. Yeah, I took it right back I've got a bit more flab hanging over my belt. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, but like I said to you, when I went to the GP and he's done all these blood tests and he's like, Josh, you are physically like perfect. Like you're everything's... You're doing great, mate. I'm like, wow, okay. And he's like, but... And then I'm thinking of this TikTok that you said something in one of our snippets about, oh, your mental health is half of your health. In fact, it could be more. And I'm thinking, is, have you listened to the episode, or is this a motherfucker pulling my leg? Like, this is
a bloke to bloke local.
Yeah, but I've heard it before. You get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to have 6%, 8% body fat.
No.
To be healthy.
It's all, that's such a luxury to be able to do that. And now every time I go to the gym, I appreciate it more because it's, yeah, it is a luxury.
Do you know Christian Guzman?
No.
Okay, he's like one of the like OG, like millions of followers, YouTuber, right? And there's a I watched a video last night and he's like doing bodybuilding prep.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like down to like 7-8% body fat. And he's like borderline starving himself. He's on such little calories, right? And he's like got no motivation. He's like so tired. He feels like shit. He's mentally drained. Watch a video. He's like, this is not healthy. Like, yeah, he's sticking to his goals and he's doing what he wants to do, but this is not what healthy looks like.
No, not at all.
Yeah, he's physically shredded. He's massive. He's like, but that's not, he's not healthy.
Who said shredded is the epitome of health? Having fat on your body is healthy.
Yeah, but your health, as we said, 50% or more is upstairs.
Oh,
wowee.
Goodness me.
Shall we make a move towards the ending?
I think it's been
good to be
What's another thing I wanted to say?
Keep going.
Work. I haven't quite quit my job yet, and I'm now working on a farm. I've taken not a significant pay cut, but I've taken a noticeable pay cut.
Yep.
And that doesn't matter.
Yep.
I've learnt when I went for that job in Broome, I didn't care what I was going to get paid because I knew all I would make enough to pay the bills with a cherry on top, and that's all I needed. And I'm way happier now doing what I'm doing, making less money, but who gives a shit? What's money for?
We've spoken about this before as well.
We have.
Money is only part of the equation. Let's just say that.
It is.
Because you might have more money, but you have less mental health capacity.
It's, yeah, but it's just...
You might have more money, but you have less enjoyment. It's a multi-factional equation.
And as I said before about money, not worrying about it, genuinely, I know a lot of young people listen to it. When you're looking for your career, what you want to do in life, what you want to study, the last thing you should look at is what you get paid. That is irrelevant because if you worry about what you get paid, you'll pick a job you don't like as much.
We literally had this conversation before we went on air.
Yeah, you'll pick a job you don't like as much and then you'll want to get out of it sooner and then you'll be in more of a rut jumping between jobs, this, that and the other.
Yep.
Whereas if you stick at something you enjoy, you won't care what you get paid as long as you can pay the bills and maybe a little cherry on top.
Yep.
That's all you fucking need.
Yep, agreed. You happy to talk about, for briefly, about the plan moving forward?
What plan?
Okay, so I think... it'd be naive to jump on here and say, hey guys, like, we've been away for 119 days and we're going to be back on the regular.
3 times a week, yes.
As much as I'd love to commit to that, I don't think we're going to.
Sustain? No.
I don't think we can. I would love to make the drive out to Wonglin and do it soon and vice versa, but I think it's important that, we haven't really spoken about this, but we both don't put a limit on this.
No.
Will we do another episode within 17 weeks from today when this gets released?
I really hope so.
I would say so.
But that's not a guarantee.
But it's not a guarantee.
No.
If we put one out once a month, I would say that would be exceptional quality.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say that we would be doing that. I'm not going to say we're definitely not going to be doing weekly. I can promise you that.
It just doesn't, no.
It just does not work. And as I said, with changes in lifestyles and everything and work and everything, there are more responsibilities, you know, we've got. So, look, this is something we love doing.
Yeah, right. And it might be, oh, I'm coming to Perth this weekend, you free? Yeah, doing a podcast, you free? No, okay, won't do it.
That's what today is, really?
Yeah.
That's what
today is. I was like, I'm coming to Perth this weekend. Yeah. I was like, hey, well, actually, Friday night, do you want to do a podcast? Just fuck it.
Let's break the internet.
Let's corrupt and destroy Spotify.
So,
we own it now.
I did expect that we'd come back eventually at some point, and we did keep the Instagram going, and I've seen all your requests, message requests, and we haven't replied to everyone, replied to nearly no one. But we do see them and appreciate them, and we will keep that account going. If you ever need to just vent to nobody, like
if you want to vent to, we've said this.
But we're not gonna.
If you want to vent to a message request that doesn't get read and just dump
it does get read though.
Yeah. Sorry, it doesn't get replied to. It doesn't have an opinion on it, and it's not in your notes. It's put somewhere else. Yeah. Just put it in a message to us, bloke to bloke on Instagram, and just leave it there.
I've seen some pretty good things over the last 17 weeks. People are still buying Dr. V.
Docky V's.
We love that. And shout out to Richard. He's been checking in. The man at Dr. V has been checking with us. We love
him.
And We Money have checked in as well. If you're still not using We Money or you are using it, good on you.
Yeah.
I just thought it was important to acknowledge that.
Definitely.
It's been an unstructured, raw,
real
long episode.
Eye-opening, realization, perspectived.
If you could sum up 119 days in a few points, give us it. Let's just go. If you made it this far, what's your little summary for your life?
Mayhem.
Yeah.
Fuckery.
Yeah.
Survival.
Yeah.
Lessons.
Yeah.
Simplicity.
Yep. For me, I'm going to go a little bit more than that.
Oh, like, cool. Just, give me more.
You can go, no, I was going to summarise it in like cool. a paragraph or so.
Yep. You said words.
Yeah, but like what,
no,
words,
turn the mics off.
Words in paragraphs. Through increased workload and the break of the podcast and the election and, you know, a relationship breakup, mm-hmm. you want to call it that, I have learnt that you can't control everything.
Yep.
And there's no point stressing about the past or the future.
Yep.
So I've found real comfort in controlling what I can control.
Yep.
And for some weird reason, the follow-out of my own advice and your advice and all that advice, I feel very, very, very comfortable with where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I am feeling satisfied and successful and achieved and all that sort of stuff, and I'm looking forward to the next 6, 12, 18, 24 months
yep.
with whatever is ahead.
Absolutely, mate. No, I rate that. Sorry for giving you little words. It makes me feel like a fucking piece of shit.
You may have your time again if you would like.
I might buy a Land Cruiser. We're going to talk about this off the podcast, and you're going to convince me not to.
Yeah.
For me, I'm having these things. I'm caring less about things. I'll do things I wouldn't used to do, or like strict me, like, no, I'll never do it. I'll never touch that. Never. I was like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. Because in my mind, it sounds really bad and really dark, but I should have died 15 weeks ago. That's how it is. So every day from then on has been a blessing that I've been able to do things that I've...
Can I give you my assessment of that?
Yeah.
I reckon that you have a really, 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 really strong mental mindset, and that is why your words are should have, not did, if that makes sense.
Oh, that does make sense. Yeah. That's really deep too. Thanks, mate.
I don't think you know it, but...
Yeah. Yep. No, thanks, yep. mate. So, yeah, for me, I'm thinking, like, bugger it, I might buy myself a Land Cruiser, because...
No. So what Nick's trying to say is he's going to do things that he hasn't done before, like buy an ETF and invest for the
no
future.
Way.
Yeah, he's going to buy a Land Cruiser.
And yeah. just these little things that I just care less about, and doing things that strict Nick wouldn't do, and
yeah.
not living life on the edge, but yeah. not caring so much, because essentially in my mind, there's parts of my mind that always be that I shouldn't be here today.
Yep.
Today is a luxury. Every day after today is a luxury that I'm able to be here.
Yep.
So sometimes just say fuck it.
Yep.
Sometimes just do that thing. Just buy that thing. I know that goes against a lot of advice we've said.
Yep.
But sometimes just fuck it. Yep. Just do it. Today is such a luxury that we're here to be able to do whatever we're doing in our days.
Yep.
So that's a bit of my final advice there.
I'm going to tie the whole thing up, including that. And when you strip life back, it's the simple things, mate.
It is. It is.
It's the little Land Cruisers.
The little?
It's the little but big Land Cruisers.
It's going to cost you at $110,000.
It's the small caps with the big gains. It's the walks at Iluka Beach. It's the playing community footy with the boys and having a beer afterwards and just having no responsibilities other than how many drinks you can have. It's about getting a camera and a mic and having a chat and watching it grow. It's all the little things, mate.
Interwebs.
Yep.
Holy shit.
If you got this far, thank you very much.
Yeah, this is how long is this? Is this going to be 2 episodes?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. No, it'll be one. All right, mate. Well, I'm looking forward to the intro music.
I miss it. How did it go again? What if you lost it?
Okay. As always, except the last 17 weeks.
Thank you very, very much, everyone, for checking in, chiming in, hanging around, still following us. And hopefully we have got some more content to come. And hopefully you got something out of today's episode. And you've learnt something, or you've been able to implement something to help you and your mental health, or someone else's mental health.
Yep.
And yeah, sweet ass cheers. Nice. As always, bloke.
Bloke.